Until the time his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of people, and let him go free. Hello, dear friend. Get ready to receive your sent word from the Lord through his servant,
Pastor Segun.
Show that your life will receive all-round increase in Jesus' name.
Somebody shout aloud, hallelujah. Finally, I am here. Unto the Lord be the glory. Great things he has done. Unto the Lord be the glory. Come on, say unto the Lord, in Kamaya Bano, in Amashete Palada Masha, in Amashato Palada Aya. Can everybody, can we lift up our hands in this place and we worship him? I say unto the Lord, he has done it before, he's going to do it again. Can we worship him? Can we worship him? Can we worship him? Sing again. Say unto the Lord. Hey. He has done greater things he will do. Lekata bala bashate ya, ena kuashata bala bashete kuzuta. Hali bala dosha teke bala dabasta. Ema teme kasusha bala dosha. Ete teke bala dabashate. Ela kuashate bala dosha. Epa shate teke dosha. Every one of us to release our spirit as we worship together.
Hallelujah.
Can we just open our mouth? Can we worship? Let's release it from the bottom of our heart. Let somebody release it. In the Catalina Masha,
Mekate, Rita Palusa, Ele Palusa, Mekata, La Guashata, El Apari, the Anikatai, La Parusata, Menecosa, Rapapa, Lekatea. Spirit of the living God, Manos, Ekenos, Kepalagade, in a mama mama shataya. Come like a mighty wind, Emaroshe, Ekatamana no Kose Kakamaya, Likepalagadabashata, Spirit of Liberty, Likatoske, Labarani, Ilanano Koshatabaya de Rosa, Lekemani no Kosi Tekade, Rakabaya Toske Palamosa. Baptize us all, oh God. Lean in a kettle. Can you just join your hand with somebody? La la mama shatata pelagadea. Rako shatata pelagadosa. In a mama masheta kabalagada. In a mama shatata pasote. Repa baba shatosa. Rakabala baba shatata. Breathe on your word. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Without you, we are nothing. Touch me and somebody. Touch me and someone. Touch that sister. Touch that brother. Touch that brother. Touch that sister. Let your power and let your glory. Hear this place, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We worship. We worship you. We worship you. Most high. Can we sing it? Everybody shout loud. Shout it 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 loud. Spirit enter into me as he spoke to me. Father, I ask, and he said, he set me on my feet. I ask the Lord in the course of this word, Lord, you will be setting people on their feet. Jesus, I ask that your spirit will permeate every obstruction, break down every wall, and do what only you can do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Can we put hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ? Already have a big church already. I'm glad I'm here already. Can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ? And please take your seat. Thank you very much. The life of an army. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 11. We have a lot of reading to do, but you know, we're just going to help me. Joel chapter 2. I will ask that if you have the pre-written notes, please keep it aside so that you can listen live and then get something. Joel chapter 2, do I have, okay. Joel chapter 2 said, okay, thank you for this translation, okay. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them. There are people here, the world have not seen your version before. I don't know whether you're hearing me. Your type has not been seen before. Your exploit has not been recorded before, because there's still a level of exploit that God is going to be doing through you that you have not seen before. I thought that we have seen it all. I thought the likes of Paul had done it all. I thought the likes of Peter had done it all. I thought the likes of Daddy Gio Baba Adeboye has done it all. I thought the likes of Baba Oyedepo had done it all. But I saw a 42-year-old man go to a kingdom called the England or United Kingdom and held you all, a whole city or the whole country spellbound. I thought yours, there are stars, there are music stars, done it all. But we saw Jesus reign over everyone. The level of exploit, in fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man what God has in stock. Listen to me, and please turn to somebody beside you and say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man what God will do through you. So look at somebody and say, say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither has any man conceived it, what God is about to do through your life. I want you to say to yourself, I mean, look at somebody and let that person be a witness. Say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not crossed anybody's mind. You cannot imagine it. You cannot conceptualize it. What God is about to do through my life. God is about to raise you. Please let that person be a witness. Stop that person. Say, God is going to use my life to raise you. God said, even in the Old Testament, he said the like of this one has not been seen before. He said not even the Napoleon army can compare to them when they stand. He said there has been none ever seen like them. He said even many successful, that's the part I love most. He said even many successive generations. Is it in your Bible? Please respond. I like the church that responds, though. I come from a church that I make them respond. Are you responding? These last two lines, I'm coming to my notes. These last two lines, the first one said, there has never been anyone like them. He said, many successive generations, many successive generations after them, there still be no one that will compare to what they will do. You are looking at yourself now. Maybe now you look like you do not even value yourself. Perhaps your shoe is like Kobla Loche and your suit is like Taylor Laurent. And you look at yourself and they say, you be go majest. Listen to me. I've seen God, you people that are shorter than me. So if you are taller than me, you are too tall. If you are shorter than me, you are too short. I am perfect in the eyes of God. If you are fairer than me, you are too much. If you are darker than me, you are too dark. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God is going to do through you. Shout amen. Let me hear you. The life wife of an army. I don't know why they give me this. I never joined an army before. But let me quickly deal with this and let's really look at this within the time constraint that we have. I'm going to be happy to dish out a lot of things fast that you will need to take the tape after you leave for you to be able to grab all that I have to say. An army is a large organized body of personnel trained for war, especially on hand. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, but then he has given it to us to dominate. And for us to continue the conquest of faith, God needs to raise some people to be in the frontier. Enough of sitting in the church. The generation of those who warm the bench is over. Now is the time for God to raise people that take territories. People that exercise the original mandate, taking dominion. Taking dominion. An army is a people trained. Now, you must underline that the word trained there means process. And the word for war means purpose. So it means that for you to understand an army, you must understand what makes an army. But before I go on, we're talking about an army. But for you to understand an army, I'm talking about the life of an army. I need to also let you know that you cannot understand an army except you understand a soldier. Because a soldier is a personnel in the army. And a group of soldiers come together to form an army. If you understand what a soldier does, the understanding the life of a soldier, you will understand the life of an army. What transforms an ordinary organization to an army is one, the training, which is the process. And number two is the war, which is the purpose. Somebody say process. Say purpose. So both of them must be together to enhance the fulfillment of your mandate. Because I have noticed that a purposeless process is a waste of time and energy. A purposeless process is a waste of time and energy. And as well, a processless purpose won't stand the test of time. A purposeless process is a waste of time of an energy. A processless purpose won't stand the test of time. And that's why God will not make that mistake to put people on the forefront without taking them through these two. You must first come to grab and come to terms with your purpose, which is war. And you must understand, you must grab the importance of process. How many of us want to do great things? We want to do exploits. Raise up your hand, let me see. But you must understand that not only is God preparing you for something, God is preparing something for you. And God is not just preparing something for you, he's also preparing you for something. Please write it down. God is not just preparing something for you, he's also preparing you for something. And therefore, you must understand that you have to stay in the process. Can I quickly let you know this? That the five stones, the five smooth stones that David used to bring down Goliath, not all of them anyway, just one of them brought him down. The five smooth stones didn't become smooth all by themselves. Because the process of weathering does not cut out a stone that is smooth. They became smooth by process. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? They became smooth by process, perhaps through erosion, but perhaps through collision with some other thing, perhaps through friction. They became smooth by process. Now listen to me. God will not, because you carry so much purpose and he has invested so much in you, he will not leave you without a process. Sometimes you will not like it, but it is process. You must continue to stay in it. Sometimes you will not like what you are coming against or what is coming against you. But my dear, stay in it because it's making you smoother. Because one day your David is going to pick you up by the riverside and you are going to be smooth and perfect for the job. If you are never smooth, you cannot fly. If you are not smooth, you cannot fly. How many of you have ever played with catapult before? I think Reverend BJ will be one of us. Some of us who we aimlessly, or I don't know, for the feel of a childhood, we take catapult, put stone in it, and we are aiming at Alanga, lizard everywhere, or a bird flying in the sky. We start aiming and there. Have you ever noticed that any missile that will fly must have a definite shape? You do not like it, but he is taking you through school, studying a course that you do not like, so that he can cut off the rough edges, so that one day, in the process that you do not like. See, I always say, I don't know why I'm a preacher after studying electronics engineering. I keep on telling but I later realized that was what gave me the smoothness I needed. So when they needed to appoint somebody as a government out chaplain, they found a boy who had not been in ministry more than 20 years. And they said, use this small boy, come and be the chaplain of the government house, where others are hold. And I mean, you may not know, one day you will come to appreciate the process. Now, when you are going through it, you will not understand. But one day, you will appreciate the process. One day you will appreciate the number of times you woke up and you fasted and you had vigil, because these things are giving your missile a definite shape. What makes an arrow fly is in his tail. What makes an arrow hit the target is on his head. I'm praying for somebody. You will hit targets. Oh my God, I thought you were here. I said the anointing to hit targets in life rests upon you now in the name of Jesus. What makes an arrow fly is in its tail, but what makes it hit the target is in its head. Stay in the process. So when an hunter takes the head of an arrow and puts it beside a stone to file it, the arrow will think, what is it doing to me? Process. Please tap somebody and say process. This generation is a microwave oven generation. They don't like process. They want it quick, sharp, quick, fast, microwave, everything. Process. See, please write it down. You will have to do what you have to do before you get to do what you want to do. These things are not in the notes. I say you will have to do what you have to do before you get to do what you want to do. That is process. You will have to do what you have to do before you get your hand to do what you want to do. That is process. Sometimes God will make you a backup singer before you can lead a choir. He will make you pray for the pastor before you can even become a deacon. You will have to do. So when you are doing what you have to do, stay true to it. It's process. The making the life of an army. The life of an army. So what makes an army? How do you join an army? I'm trying to. You can be born into an army family, into a soldier family, but you only become an army by enlisting. And there are two ways you can enlist. One, you can enlist by submission. That is a free of your own free volition. You decide to join the army. I mean, you are not coerced. The second way is the most dangerous one. Coercion. Conscription. Many of you have struggled for a long time. And if you care to hear, it is better to release yourself for what God wants to do in your life than for you to allow Him to beat you down into submission. Many people do not live to tell the story. It's better to surrender. And that's why I'm happy for this kind of gathering. It is better to surrender. Don't struggle with it. I ran. My name should be Iran. But eventually, it's stupid. I realized it's stupid, sir. It's stupid to start to run away from somebody you cannot run away from. It's like running away from your shadow when there is light everywhere. You've been hearing about it for a very long time. You said, no, when I'm 50. Who needs you when you're 50? It's better you submit. Go by your own. Walk into the camp and sign the dotted line. rather than for you to allow him to conscript you. It can be very dangerous. It can destroy a lot of things. As a soldier, what really matters to God is not really actually your comfort. It is your spiritual discipline and your dedication. And that is why when a soldier leaves camp without permission, he faces a lot of wahala. What matters in training in the life of a soldier or in the life of an army at a large is spiritual, is the discipline and dedication. Let me ask you to write this down and please note it. The greatness of a soldier's assignment determines his training. Maybe I should paraphrase this. The development of a soldier determines his deployment. One of our father in the Lord has noted that one down. He's going to be talking to you about this. But let me quickly score it now. Your deployment, where you are going to be deployed to, is a factor that is determining your training. So sometimes it can take longer because of the quality of the deployment. That is why you cannot compare the training you give to a police officer and the one you give to a normal army. And if you are in the U.S., you cannot compare what you give to an ordinary soldier and the U.S. Navy SEAL. How many of us like, I love watching American war films, special agent movies. Go and check what they give them. The training is the baddest, if there's a word like that. It's usually the toughest. So sometimes, what you're going through is just an indication to the greatness of your assignment. Stay in the process. Why am I talking about process? Process matters. After purpose, process the next. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You may be wondering, why is it taking long? God is preparing you for something. Bishop David Oyelowo said that when he was about to go into ministry, he went to God and God said to him, I will not allow you to go the same way every other person was going. He said, wait. And he kept him there. And for a very long time, he felt like everybody had gone. They were like ahead of him. But lo and behold, everyone who looked like they'd gone ahead of him, has he not caught up with them? You see, sometimes God will have to pull you back so that you can actually fly higher. See, an arrow does not fly until you pull it back. And the farther you pull it backward, the more the strength, the impetus you give unto it to fly. So sometimes God may be pulling you back. Please come, my brother. You are trying to go. God is holding your trousers and saying, come back. The more he pull you back. Have you ever noticed that when you hold somebody down, by the time you release him, he runs? Don't worry about how long it's taking you. You are going to run. I can't hear you. I said you will fly. Bible says, and for they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They will mount up on our mountain with the wings like a eagle. He said they will run and they will not be tired. They will fly. They will soar. Somebody is here. You will fly in your generation. I can't hear you very well now. Say louder, amen. I said you will fly in your generation. But you have to understand that there is a process. Sometimes in the life of a army, you must understand that there is always a process. And in the process, there is hardship. There is hardship in the process. And why would God allow Christian soldiers, young soldiers, army? We have to tell you all of this so that you not think it's bread and butter. God always allows hardship for so many reasons. Hardship will be there. You'll be denied. I'm still coming. And what's the importance of hardship? Hardship brings humility. It helps us. Nothing teaches humility like hardship. You become gentle by force. All your pride will come down. When your brother fails you, your uncle fails you, and you are down to God, you will be humble. Nothing humbles a man like when you are down to one option and it is only God. Hardship brings compassion and sensitivity. You know, when you are going through tough time, you become more sensitive to others. I went through school without my father being able to pay my school fee. So I have compassion when I see students who are going through the same thing I went through. Something in me reaches out to them because I've been there before. See, sometimes God will allow you to go through what you are going to minister to later. You will go through the things that you are going to have to minister to later, even now. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? I've come to talk to a lively church. Can I get a lively church? And she brings about self-knowledge and perspective. And she brings things into perspective. You get to understand yourself better. You get to understand who you are, who you are not. Sometimes we overrate ourselves. But when we are hit by tough time, we get to bring things into perspective. That you grow out from, you grow up in a rich family, a family that can afford, may not give you the right perspective with life. I mean, when you went to the nursery and primary school where they taught you phonetics, and you learn how to do phonetics from nursery and primary school. You left there to nursery and private secondary school. You left there to another private university. You don't understand what we are going through. Perhaps you need to take a detour in life. Perhaps the contour of life should need to throw you off balance a little, and then you feel the governor. A governor was asked a question in my state, and they said, "What was your most horrible day in life?" He said, "The day I had a flat tire." How many of you had had to change tires several times? But I understand also that sometimes the day you need to change your tire can be the most horrible day in your life, particularly when you don't have the right key. Is somebody getting what I'm saying now? So God will allow us to put you into proper perspective. And then you get to understand that, man, life will balance. Oh. It's a privilege. Oh. So you'll be more sensitive. So you will not bank on your own self-righteousness. One day God will allow you to fail so that you can realize that, man, not by power, not by mind, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Our sheep will come to your life to give you a limit of control. So you know the things you can control and the things you cannot control. Our sheep come to your life to give you strength. There is no tree that grows strong and tall without going through a season of without. A season where there is no rain. The season of no rain makes a tree tougher than the season of rain. In fact, if you see a tree that takes rain every now and then, it's going to grow to become a weak tree. If you see a plant that takes rain every now and then, can we please celebrate grace? Can we rise up and celebrate grace? Daddy, you're welcome, sir. Please help me celebrate this grace, sir. Thank you very much. Daddy, we celebrate you. You're welcome, sir. Nice to see you again, sir. You're welcome, sir. Please help me. Please be seated. If you see a plant that you always give water to, listen to me. Two things can happen to that plant. It's either it dies prematurely or it grows weak. Its stem, its leaf, everything will be. Tough time makes you strong. It doesn't kill you. Hardship gives flexibility. See, hardship is part of your success. You must understand, you must embrace it. Hardship is a natural and necessary part of your growing up. Growing through difficult situations assists us to assess our strengths and our weaknesses. As a soldier in the army of Christ, you must know that one of the major things that God will make you train with is hardship. Days of praying. Hardship may come in various forms. Days of praying without answer. Days of living by faith. Hoping, believing that God will send the next meal. The first day I bought 100 naira meat, myself and my wife celebrated. We had a celebration. Because before then, I was buying burger, 100 naira. We call it biscuit bone, but there was nothing biscuits in it. No biscuits. We shoe it and we throw it to the remaining one. The one that we can shoe, we shoe. The one we cannot shoe, we throw it.
So that when plenty come, Paul said, I have learned in all things to have, how to abase myself. See, you don't get carried away by success when it comes, because you know that it is not because you know how to do it. It was unto God that showed mercy. Praise God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here?
I'm running because my father in the Lord is in the house and I have to be fast. You don't talk too much when you see a father.
Praise the Lord. Soldiers are trained with hardship. Now, please let me quickly tell you some of the things you need to know. Some of you have gone through boot camps, you've gone through NYC, and you need to know those things. One of the things they showed you when you were going through camps is that a soldier does not take off his uniform or boots always. Go and check very well. You don't, in a normal, now please let me let you know that either you like it or not, you are in a war front. You didn't need to even sign, you are there. You didn't need to, you are in a war front. You are either you know it or not. Either you have no choice in this. We are caught in the middle. There is a force fighting another force, and you are born into the battlefront. Abisogunio. That is why I pity a lot of people who does not know how to pray warfare prayers, because you are caught in the line. You cannot but You cannot pray in tongue. You can't pray. You are already an easy meal for them. And so, for a soldier, you must know that you cannot off your uniform. You cannot lose your guard. That's the meaning. You can't just lose your guard. You must be ready at all times. When a soldier hears the bugle, he does not have to be looking for his belt. You're looking for your belt, you're gone. You're looking for your shoe, you're gone. That is why they put on the shoe. They can put on the shoe for as long as they can. I don't know so much about Nigeria, so at least we watch American movies. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? As a soldier, you are trained with loads. They start increasing the load. From training, they start adding more load, more weight. Why? That is to teach you forbearance. The life of a soldier is the life of forbearance. You must know how to bear load. Because one day, a fellow soldier will be down. And you must be trained in carrying the other soldier. Have you seen clips of soldiers carrying soldiers? Because, see, it is even easier to carry a man that has life than to carry a man that is dead. When a soldier is down, to carry him, you require a lot of strength. So they train with load. That is why you too, God is training you with loads now. He's increasing it gradually. The things you can bear when you were a baby Christian, you cannot. They are no longer weight for you anymore. He's adding weight. So more responsibility. Because one day you become more mature, you can carry a whole church. Now you are just carrying one person that was handed to you in a discipleship class. By the time you grow up, you will increase your capacity to 3, to 4, to 12. At the end of the day, you are carrying a unit. Before you know it, you are carrying a church. But you have to start from somewhere. You can't pray for yourself. You can't pray for the church. Stop deceiving us. And then you grow from there to carrying your own nation. There are some people who carry the word. Yeah. Some people have grown to that level that they are carrying. What they are carrying, the weight they are carrying is the weight of the world. Amazingly, the one that causes you to train with this load will not allow it to weigh you down. It's so mighty, so benevolent. A soldier in training will be denied and deprived so they can tame their desires. It will be broken down to submission. Why? Because if you look at it very well, riding a horse, it's beautiful to ride a horse, but maybe you do not know that you cannot ride a horse that is not broken. A horse that is not broken is beautiful but useless. A horse that is not broken is beautiful but useless. That is why you don't see people riding zebra, because it's difficult to break a zebra. Very beautiful, but very difficult to break them. When you get a horse, you have to break them. Bring them to submission by so many things you do. Are you following me? Is somebody getting blessed? The life of a soldier is a life given to facing war. I've told you about that.
A soldier doesn't play with frivolity or get distracted by ephemeris. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm looking at my time. That's why I'm limiting it. You have the notes with you. You can look at the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, quickly, and verse 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Give me verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship. We'll talk about hardship. That's the first part of all that I've said. You therefore must endure hardship as good soldiers of Christ. I've told you about hardship. It's coming. Or if it has not come, it will come. If we just come, we are going to go through our own classes in different ways. Then now said in verse 4, he said, no one engaged in warfare entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who enlists him. So, a soldier cannot engage in frivolity. A good soldier knows where to place, knows that there is no place for fear in him. A good soldier knows that there is no place for fear in him. The Bible says in the book of Timothy, says that we have not been given the spirit of fear. We have not been given a spirit of fear. You don't see a soldier going to war afraid. And that's what that was one of the yardstick God used in Judges chapter 7 to sieve the soldiers that Gideon has lined up. Many of us can. You're afraid of. No, you can't be afraid. You only live by faith here. In this life that you have signed up for, you only live by faith. Live by faith. A good soldier spends a lot of time with his weapon to master it. A good soldier spends a lot of time with his weapon to master it. Why is it that you do not even know that your spiritual Bible says, though we walk carnally, we do not war. See, the Bible uses things that will make us understand. You need to first, before you can war very well with your weapon, you must spend time with it. You are not a good swordman if you don't practice very well with sword. You are not a good marksman if you don't go to the shooting pool and shoot regularly. You go there to shoot for you to improve your skill. You don't just shoot once and forget about it. You must spend time with your weapon. What's your weapon? Locate one and spend time with it. If it is worship, keep on worshiping until it becomes blood. If it is a word, wake up in the night and do more than you're doing presently. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I have realized that I have to tell you this. Only dead men join the army. Only dead men join the army. You know why I say so? The day you sign the dotted line, that day you die. A soldier does not die at the war front. He dies at home. The day he signed was the day he died. That's why they can go to ordinarily, you're well dressed, my brother. Nice tie, nice shirt, nice everything combination. Are you married? Oh, praise God for you. Because today somebody will have received you. I mean, nice shirt, nice tie. I just say, now I'm posting you to some Mr. Forest. It doesn't, but the day they post a soldier to some Mr. Forest, he doesn't say, please redeploy me. He has died long, whether he's in some Mr. or he's in the street, he's dead. Only dead men, I mean good soldiers. So, don't let us bring Nigerian factor into it. Good soldiers, they die the day they sign. And that's why you can't, except you resign, you can't go out. You can't just wander away. I wonder why you say you are a soldier of Christ. You work in the church, and the day we need you in church, we can't find you. You are not available. Like your song, you know. We need somebody to help us in the children's department. You are not available. The day you said you are intercessor, prayer warrior. But with flimsy excuse, it's raining today. You see, I'm so tired. Prayer warrior. Intercessors. Prayer. You know why they call them zombies? Because they are dead men walking. A dead man does not have a desire, does not have a wish. Now, a problem comes to a soldier the day he starts having a mind of his own. Because normally, a soldier does not have emotion.
The only emotion a soldier has is the emotion of his superior. His desire is the desire of his superior. That is why they can ask them to go and kill their mother and they will go. Because they don't have any emotion. See, the reason why we are not doing well as soldiers of Christ is because we have different mindset to that of our Lord. We have a different opinion. We have a different emotion. We have a different desire. And so it's affecting us in a whole lot of ways. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, you have to start dying. And that's why the Bible says you have to die to yourself. Dying daily. You must die daily. Dying means to forgo your selfish, physical, and egotistical desire of this world. And wholeheartedly seek the kingdom of God. Now quickly, let me tell you this. A soldier is a risk taker. Write it down. A soldier, and this is not in your notes. A soldier is a risk taker. God only uses people who are willing to take risk of failure. And do you know the whole of the book of Matthew chapter 25? That chapter of Matthew chapter 25 is talking about taking risk. And how people allow fear of failure to affect their judgment and their decision. Friends, let me ask you, please, whatever you do, do not allow fear to help you take your decision. Because you will never take the right one. You see, I look at Matthew chapter 25, and I was studying it, and I realized that the definition of unfaithfulness there, you know, the master came back and said, unfaithful servant. Of course, you know, that word was used there. Unfaithful servant. The definition of, you ask, why is that man unfaithful? It's because he was afraid to take risk. The definition of unfaithfulness, according to Matthew chapter 25, is inability, unwillingness to take risk. As a soldier, there are a lot of risk. In fact, ask our fathers in the Lord. They've taken so many risks. And you know the one that has called us to this work always supports you, even when you think you are taking a risk. You know that there are three approaches to leadership. And I think you must have heard that there are risk takers, there are caretakers, and there are undertakers. A risk taker is not afraid to go out on a limb. You should ask David how he felt when he said, I'm thirsty. And three soldiers decided to go across the camp. Let me quickly tell you the different kind of risk that God may be calling you to take. Please note this. I don't have time to wait, but please listen to me. Because I believe that as a soldier, God will be asking you to take risk. It's going to be different from one another. Let me quickly say this to you. Please take your pen. Maybe God, there are some of us here, God will be asking us to take the David risk. What is the David risk? To come against a Goliath in our generation. That is David's risk. Some of us, God will be asking us to take the Abraham risk. The risk of going to a place where you have never been before. As a soldier, is a risk. Some of us will be taking the Moses risk. The risk of going back to a place where you once failed, or where you refused, where you failed to face your failure. How dangerous could that be? Very risky. You have failed there, and God is sending you back there. If for once I don't want to go back to where I failed, where they have known me as a failure. If for once I don't think any alert would like to go to the area where it was an alert, and then go there and preach the gospel. But God may send you back to where you failed. Sometime God may want you to go back and take a course in the university where you failed, so that his purpose can be fulfilled in your life. Risk. Risk. Perhaps God will want you to take the Daniel risk. Risk of remaining faithful to God regardless of the threat or opposition against you, even in a strange land. Some of us may be taking the Mary risk. The risk of trusting God and moving ahead in faith, even when what he wants to do, you do not understand.
Kristi balogun wa ni waju ogun o baran wa ni se akoni beru bi ohun to fe se ko ti leye wa sibe a o tele titi te si waju la se oluwa te si waju ti lele rina te si waju ko orin soke belu Christi segun daju. Sometimes what he wants to do you will not understand, sir, in ministry. And this one, I say this one with all the emotion inside of me and with tears in my eyes. God will show you the promise, give you the promise. I won't tell you the process. He won't tell you. He will show you the promised land, but he will not tell you there is a red cross and the wilderness. And there will be the red sea and the wilderness. He won't tell you that there is a red sea and the wilderness. It will allow you to depend on him daily. It's a risk. God told Mary, the angel told Mary, that you are going to have a child called the Son of the Almighty. But he didn't tell Mary that they will need to stone you. They will want to stone you. They will want to stone you to death. How it will happen, she didn't know. God may be asking you to take the known risk of putting your life into building something that you have never seen built before. To do something that is not done in your denomination before. Ah! Oh my God. I have also seen that. And I know what it is for them to call you names. And when you have a father like our father here, Baba James Olawoye, and if you don't have a father to support you like him, people will call you names. They will call you rebel. They will say you have disrupted something. Because he's calling you to take a risk. If you don't want to be named a name, you cannot take this risk. This is called a known risk. Or building, putting your life. Because this is a vision from heaven. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? He may be calling you to take Nehemiah's risk. Nehemiah's risk is to rebuild what has been in ruin. Or perhaps he's asking you to take the risk, like all the prophets in the Bible did, that is telling the difficult to hear truth of the word of God. Or he may be asking you to take the Matthew's risk. I'm bringing it to end close. Matthew's risk. And Matthew's risk is to leave a financially stable environment to go and depend on God. Can you imagine? Matthew, the tax collector, on a table where he was counting money. Jesus said, follow me. A fox has a den and a bird has a nest. Matthew was leaving financially stable environment to go into something. Many of us are afraid of leaving what is sure for what is unknown. But I can tell you, behind what is unknown is something that is certain. It may be asking you to step up and take the bitter risk or the poor risk. The poor risk of going to everywhere and bring the gospel. In all of this, you will face fear. But for you to conquer the fear, you must redefine what fear is. And I have found out from the Bible that fear is not the ability. It's not just the ability not to. Or is not. Okay, let me put it this way. Fear is not being able to reach a goal. Fear is not being able to set a, failure. Failure is not being able to reach a goal, but not being able to set a goal. If we put a ball on the stage and everybody is kicking it, we can kick it as long as we like. After 90 minutes, if we do not score, it's a failure. Not being able to set a goal, not being able, not willing to try, refusing to try, that is the definition of failure. How many of you want to even attempt something How many of you want us want? Okay, let me ask it in a different way. How many of us once again want to do something great in this army?
God is building a people of power. God is making a people of praise that will move through this land by His Spirit, and we glorify His precious name. Build Your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, to Your song. Make us one, Lord, in Your body, in the kingdom of Your Son.
You cannot be afraid to try. All you need to do is just to enlist. Because faithful is He that called. He's going to supply the strength. The life of a soldier is not going to be an easy one. But can I tell you this good part of it as I close? No man going to battle on his own finance. The one that are called to battle is very willing to finance it. No man engages in war in his own expense. That's what the Bible says. You don't go at your own expense. You go at the expense of him that sent you. Listen to me. Your own war front may be in the home setting. Your own work from may not be to be the wife of the pastor. It might just be in the home setting. You may be a captain, a general in rescuing your husband. A general in rescuing and preserving your children from the moral decadence. And God is looking for soldiers there. God is looking for soldiers in the academic world. God is looking for soldiers. Soldiers that will not compromise in the security sector, in the finance sector. Can you imagine? We have some people to be our financial watchdog. They have been arrested for corruption. How does it tally? When the man that is supposed to help us catch thief is being caught as a thief. And God is looking for people that will rise up in Kwara State, and they will take the government house and will say, "Thank you, Jesus." You may not need to go to any war front that carry gun, but you are caught in the war already, and you have no choice than to be part of it. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown, but before you get there, there is grace for you to carry it. And God is calling you. Now you have enlisted. What lies ahead of you is greater than what you can ever go to. But Paul said, "I consider that this," now call it, I like Paul. He called, this is the same Paul that wrote that we were shipwrecked. We were pressed. We were under pressure. He said, "I spent days in the water." But he said, "This light affliction." So everything I'm going through, he said, is light. Compare. See, if you don't learn how to compare the glory ahead of you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was ahead of him, ignored the pain on the cross. When they were nailing him, he was looking at the joy. He was looking at one day that God is going to highly exalt him and give him a name that is above every other name. So he can say, "Pierce my side, I'm going to get a name. Give me a crown of stone, I'm going to get a name. One day I am going to be exalted above every other one." I don't know whether you are here, whether you are going through your tough time or you have gone through your tough time, but there is something you must know. There is a certainty ahead of you. There is a prize ahead of you. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight of faith." Said, "I am finished." He said, "And a crown has been laid down for me." There is somebody that needs to know that you don't need to get to heaven to get that crown on your head.
That crown is already waiting. It's here on earth. Some of us will be decorated here on earth before we step into eternity. Some of us, some of you will begin to get your crown. It doesn't matter your age. You will begin to wear crown. And people will be saying, people will now become jealous. They will be looking at you with the corner of their eyes. They will be saying, hey, look at that sister. Oh, they can't even pull out word. Oh, they can't open a sponsorship. But then you will look at it and say, my God has been faithful. There were days when I fasted because of the church. There was a day when I heard that a brother in the church was sick. And I went, like David said. He said, one day I was watching over the flock of my father. And when I saw that a bear was coming, I ran after it. I took the lamb from his mouth. It was that activity that gave David a nation. There is somebody here. After you leave this ground, which is your testing ground, God is going to be giving you promotion. I can't hear you. I can't hear you at all. I can't hear you. Let those who are hearing me say, shout a louder amen. I said, God is going to be giving you promotion. He's going to be giving you lifting. He's going to be taking you to the next level. Because now you are going through your training. You don't, please look at somebody. Say, don't look at me the way you are seeing me. I am bigger than this. Very soon I will be lifted. Very soon I shall be exalted. God is going to change my level. I'm just going through my training. This is a life assigned for. Don't look for me before you find me. I will be right there every time because I'm going somewhere. I am bigger than this. I'm just going through the process. Somebody jump up. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost quickly? Pray in the Holy Ghost quickly. Somebody pray in the Holy Ghost. Let shut up. It doesn't matter what you are going through now. There's somebody here that needs to pray that prayer now. I'm leaving. I need you to pray. Like a shadows cabalagadaya. Rakekekekekeya. Live la balabalaba shataya. I don't know what he's asking you to do. I don't know what risk he's asking you to take. Can you begin to pray about it? He's calling you to a definite assignment. Rafa Shata Ganaya. Can you begin to reach out and receive grace? In this army there is grace. The life of an army is the life of grace. Somebody pray the Holy Ghost. Grace to fall your head. Not to mind the difficulty. Not to mind the training process. If somebody pray, I don't know whether you get it. Something is happening. Receive. Reach out. Somebody reach out and receive help. In your academic, receive help. In your marriage, receive help. In your ministry, receive help. You can't go back. You have come too far to go back. This is a lifelong journey. Receive help. The help of the helpless. Help me. You help those who have gone ahead of me. Help me. Yeah. I help those. Just give me one more minute. Pray. One more minute. And I'm gone. Let somebody receive help. Lift up your hands. Rishaya balagata. Ratekateye. Emma Basetekate. Rikatuska balagarosa. I want to pray for you as I leave. Lift up your hands. Let all eyes be closed. Pendekusate baradusa. Alemano sete prede ketusa. Rata baleo sete gedie. Elaban sete ketusa. Mata kataya da. Eshata kataya. Riabaya te. Elakusa takada. Palata katala gadaya. Eliate kete. Liketuska palagadia. Elamashate. Rakusa taya. Ata. Li ataya. Rakusa. Epeleke deleke deleke de. Iladia takatusa. I join my faith and grace with that of Reverend B.J. Odejide and back by grace and privilege to the grace of God and the anointing of God upon our Father, Reverend Dr. James, that is here. I don't know whether you believe in the grace of the fathers. The same God that has helped them will help you. Oh, your amen is so short. It's not powerful. I need a resounding amen. I decree now, in whatever area you are, in whatever level you are, receive grace that will help you now. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 say, let us boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Therefore I stand here on this altar and I do pronounce mercy, 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 mercy. I pronounce mercy. I release mercy, the mercy of God upon your life in the name of Jesus. This day forward, where you have struggled before, you will make success there. Where you are afraid to step into, by the grace of God, you will go there and do exploits. You will not disappoint your generation. You will not disappoint God, and you will not disappoint the church. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
We are confident that you have been blessed. Do well to share with your friends and families. To listen and access more life-transforming messages and resources, download the TFPAW mobile app from any of the Play Stores or visit our website www.tfpaw.org. Do well to subscribe to our YouTube channel at official_TFPAW. Facebook and Twitter at official_TFPAW. For further inquiries and counseling, you can reach us on the following phone numbers: 0803-9413-665 and 0816-7829-390. God bless you.